Amen. Well, it's an honor to look into the Word. Let's pray for the Word tonight. Heavenly Father, once again, we are always honored to look to your Word. God, we just pray tonight that you would come and speak so directly and so clearly into the depths of our souls tonight. I pray that you would reveal to us, God, any areas that you would want us to apply to our lives in a greater measure. Father, we just ask that you would strengthen this house, this body, every single person tonight by your Word, Lord. Just come and have your way, we pray, in all of our lives. In your name we ask, amen. Amen. Well, our title tonight is The Divine Full Reward. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, God speaks about how he has ordained a blessing. He has ordained a reward for his people according to our godly love and our obedience. He talks about how he has ordained this reward for the sake of strengthening the call upon our lives, strengthening his mandate upon our lives. Now, we do not serve the Lord just to get a reward. It is our highest honor to serve the Lord first and foremost in our lives. And when we serve the Lord with a pure duty and a pure devotion unto him, there is an ordained divine full reward that he is pleased to pour out upon his people, a reward of his power, a reward of his provision. Besides Deuteronomy chapter 11, there are a couple of other passages that speak to our full reward. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 12, says, "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Our main passage tonight comes from 2 John chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there tonight. 2 John chapter 1. The apostle here in this passage is commending an honorable woman and her children in verses 1 to 3. 2 John 1, 3 to 8. "Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we have received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose the things that we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward." This lady here was an honorable lady. She was loved by the apostle and the believers. She was called the elect, the chosen, and honored by God. And it says that her children followed her example, and they had a divine blessing of God upon them because of their obedience. Her obedience led to her children's obedience, which led to a blessing and favor from God. In verse 3, it says, "Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father." He admonishes her in these verses and how it is that she can receive of her full reward. And he talks about the aspects of faith, divine love, and obedience. They loved this lady because of her holiness and because of the standard in which she lived her life. No compromise with the Word of God. The full reward mentioned in this passage, it involves an earthly blessing as well as an eternal blessing. The earthly reward for walking the Word of God, being committed to full obedience, is his protection. It is his provision and his power for every situation that we find ourselves in. And our eternal reward for being committed to the Word of God during our days on earth is our eternal security. That when we stand on the day of judgment before our Lord as individuals, and we have committed our lives to being obedient to the Word of God, that he would look upon us and he would say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." How many here want to receive the full reward of the Lord over your life? Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11, they further emphasize that our divine reward is found in obedience to God's word. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the hearts. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. As we study this term, full reward, the word full, it means an empty vessel that is filled up, that is covered in every part of the soul, permeated, lacking nothing, fully complete and perfect. And the word reward means divine recompense. There is a full reward that God desires to bestow upon us, that we would lack nothing, that our lives would be permeated, filled with the divine reward of his word. Psalm 119 is a passage that speaks to the reward of the fullness of God's power over our lives from walking in a passion and an obedience to the word of God. This Psalm 119 is fascinating to me. It consists of 176 verses, making it the longest chapter in the Bible. These verses are broken out into sections of 8 verses each. And these sections are arranged in accordance with the Hebrew alphabet. And it is true that we could spend weeks dissecting each of these sections and how they apply to our lives. But what is fascinating to me is that the entire theme of David's writings in Psalm 119 is meditations on the excellencies of the Word of God. Throughout the entire chapter, David refers to the Word of God in almost every single one of the 176 verses. He declares the excellencies, the power, the majesty, the full reward that is found in being passionate and obedient and walking out the word of God. And in fact, there are only 4 verses out of all of these verses that do not specifically use a word used to describe the word of God. Almost every verse refers to the beauty of God's law, how much David loves and is passionate about God's testimony, his ways, his precepts, the statutes, commandments, judgments, and word. Church, you will be encouraged and challenged as you begin to take Psalm 119 and prophetically pray and declare these words upon your life and upon your home. Let's look at verses 1 to 8 in Psalm 119. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly." In verses 5 to 6, David is reminded of his weakness. He is reminded of his inability to be able to be passionate for and to follow the commands of God diligently. And so he prays for God's mercy. He prays for the help of God in this manner. This chapter teaches us that every answer, every comfort, and every victory is found in the Word of God. And he begins by saying, "Blessed are those who pursue God's will, who govern themselves, who govern their entire conversations by the law of God." These people walk within the protection of God's law. They do not step outside of the protection of God's law, but they pursue it. They press forward only in God's ways. These people will be rewarded. These people will be blessed. These people will not walk in their friends' ways. They will not walk in the ways of the world, but only in God's ways. And every verse following shows the Lord's reward through total commitment to his word. 3 areas tonight that we need to persevere in to obtain the divine full reward of the Lord. Number 1 is faith. 2 John 1, 4-8 clearly shows that this lady that is spoken of had tremendous faith as she walked in the ways of the Lord. And isn't it true tonight that we serve a God who is faithful to every word that he has ever spoken over our lives, that his promises truly are yes and amen. And because our God's faithfulness never leaves us, he is worthy of our trust, church. He is worthy of our faith, our total faith in the word of God. And this word faith, it does not just mean belief. It does not just mean a believing spirit, but faith means that there are actions that follow our beliefs. Do you believe tonight, wherever you are, that Jesus is the Son of God? That he holds every victory that you will ever need in this life in his hands? Do you believe tonight that his words, they are truth? That his promises, they are yes and amen? Do you believe tonight that according to the word of God, the old has passed away and behold, all things have been made new in the name of Jesus? What is your level of faith tonight? How much can you believe for your life, for your family, for your healing, for your finances? What is your level of faith tonight in Jesus, the Son of God, who is able to do immeasurably, exceedingly more abundant than all we could ever ask or imagine? The familiar verse to us, of course, that speaks to our faith is Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We believe him that he exists, but when we seek him, when we go after him, when we follow after him, when there are actions, he rewards that kind of a faith. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is a trust. It is a confident hope and assurance, and it must be evident in our lives through our words and our actions. Our level of faith cannot be dependent on our feelings. Hebrews 11 goes on to tell us in the familiar passage of men and women who experience the power of God in their lives because of their faith in action. Abraham, Moses, Noah, Enoch, Sarah, Joseph, and Rahab. Verses 32 to 33 of Hebrews 11, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. These men and women, they gained their divine full reward of the Lord because of their faith. There is an acronym that I like to use for this word faith. According to Scripture, faith is fully acting in truth and holiness. This is the kind of faith that is required of us in this day and age. Faith looks like us fully acting in the truth of the Word of God and in the holiness of the Word of God. And Psalm 119 is a direct result of David's faith. He believed the power of God. And that's why almost every verse refers to God's Word and David's commitment to his Word. May we be the family, may we be the sons and daughters whose faith is evidenced. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 20 to 22. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Our divine full reward will be imparted to us as we labor, as we work diligently to follow the commandments, to be fully committed to the Word of God in our lives. And number two is godly love and passion. Godly love and passion. 2 John chapter 1, verse 5. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. We all probably know this in this room tonight, but the greatest commandment upon our lives, it never loses its power, it never loses the truth and the importance of it, no matter how many times you hear it preached. But the greatest commandment upon our lives is to love God and love others with God's love. And it will determine whether we will receive God's reward of his power and his provision. And the love that we are called to is not a love that is a natural love that we can attain to within ourselves, but it is a divine love. It is a love that the Holy Spirit enables us to be able to love one another with. When we love God passionately with every part of us, the Holy Spirit enables us to live in this love. The lady and her children were admonished to continue in their Christian love. 1 John 2, verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. 1 John 3, 10 to 11, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. It's very clear. No interpretation is needed in this passage. Children of God show godly love. Children who were swayed by the enemy do not show godly love. In Deuteronomy 11, 13 to 28, God outlines the blessing and the reward of his power, of his covenantal love and relationship with us. If we love the Lord with everything that is within us, if we do not allow our hearts to be deceived by the ungodly love, if we lay up the treasures of his commands and if we teach them to our children, if we do not serve ourselves or any idol, that in our passionate love for him and godly love for one another, there is an ordained blessing and reward that he has prepared for us. And number three tonight is disciplined obedience. Disciplined obedience. 2 John 1, verses 6 to 8. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose the things that we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. 1 John 5, verse 3 in the Voice says, you see, to love God means that we keep his commands, and his commands do not weigh us down. In 2 John, the apostles and the other believers loved this woman, not only because she was honorable, but because she was serious about her Christianity. How many are serious about their religion? How many are serious about their Christianity in your life? There are moments when our flesh and our emotions and the temptations of Satan will come against our obedience. They will test our obedience to the Lord. And it is in these moments when our obedience is tested that we need to have discipline to be obedient to the Lord. In these moments of testing, our choice needs to be committed to obedience, no matter what our circumstances look like, no matter what everybody else is doing around you, no matter what other advice that you are receiving. In these moments when our flesh and our emotions and the temptation of Satan is testing our obedience, we need to be disciplined in order to choose obedience, no matter what else is happening. Jesus instructed his disciples to continually watch and pray, because he knew that there in us, that our spirits are willing, but that our flesh is weak. In order to overcome the temptations and the work of Satan and to be victorious in the call of God, to live in holiness and to live according to the word of God, it requires discipline to walk in God's ways. Psalm 119, verse 4, in the Amplified Version, it reads, you have ordained your precepts that we should follow them with careful diligence. David understood that diligence would be required. What are other words used for diligence? Self-control, discipline. How do we follow the precepts of the Lord with no compromise in our lives? It requires diligence and discipline. If we do not feel like reading the word one day, it is our discipline to obedience that will keep us in the word on a daily basis. If we are tempted to sleep in on a Sunday morning or to do something else on a Sunday, then find ourselves in the house of God. It is our discipline to obedience that will keep us faithful in these moments, and the Lord is pleased. Listen, the Lord is pleased with our obedience. He is pleased with our discipline. Now I pray wholeheartedly tonight that our decision to be committed to obedience would come from a deep desire to know the Lord God better. I pray that our desire to be in the house faithfully, to be in the word and to pray, to follow these spiritual disciplines, that the motivation for all of this always comes from the place of devotion to our amazing Lord. However, if there ever is a time where you feel that your time is being drawn to everything else except being in the Word of God, we must instill discipline to ensure that we place top priority on the studying, on the meditating, and on the walking out of the Word of God on a daily basis. There is a divine, full reward of God's power that we need, church. Our children need it. Every single one of us, no matter how long you have been serving the Lord, we all need this divine reward of the power of God in order for us to be victorious over our flesh, over the pull of this culture, and over Satan. Even the world understands the need and the power of discipline. When they speak about discipline, motivational speakers and all kinds of books, and you can find lots of teachings on this word discipline, they are relating it to a natural reward. If you study the life of a soldier, you will quickly discover that one of the main focuses of their role as a soldier is the principle of discipline. The level of their skill and effectiveness to advance and to overcome their enemy has a lot to do with the level of their discipline. They discipline themselves in their schedule, in their training, in their thoughts, in their behaviors, in their attitudes. They discipline themselves in the submission to authority in every aspect of their lives. This principle is at the forefront. And discipline allows the soldier to be effective as an individual, and it allows the soldier to be effective as a unit as well. I want to just share a quote from a Navy SEAL on this topic that can be related to the power of our spiritual discipline. People look for the shortcuts. The shortcut is a lie. It does not get you there. If you want to take the easy road, it won't take you to where you want to be, stronger, smarter. There is only hard work, repetition, study. Discipline defeats the excuses that say, not today, I need a rest, I'll do it tomorrow. There are valuable lessons that we can learn, lessons pertaining to spiritual discipline that we can learn from soldiers. They prepare and they train vigorously to be better than their enemies. And as believers, it is crucial that we understand that we are in a spiritual battle. We too are in a spiritual war. There is a war for your faith tonight. There is a war for your worship to be apathetic tonight. There is a war for your study and your discipline in the Word of God. There is a war for you to be found on your knees interceding before the Lord. There is a war tonight over the salvation of your children, over your example to lead them in the ways of obedience and the ways of God. There is a war for your church attendance, for your Christian service. And you can be sure tonight that there is a furious battle that is raging in the supernatural for the divine full reward of the Lord to not be evidence in your life, to not be evidence that we would not raise up the standard in our home of godliness. And this is the war that we face on a daily basis. We must recognize the war that is before us. And there are days when you might feel too tired to get on your knees, to open the Word and study, to pray strategically. There definitely are other commitments that will fight for our devotion and for our passion. Satan will attack our endurance and our faithfulness, our commitment and our discipline to the work of God. And devotion to God is crucial for us to implement in our lives so that we can overcome this attack. According to Galatians 5:23, the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to develop self-control, a fruit of the Spirit. When we yield to His work in our lives, this self-control, it looks like discipline. It looks like willpower, a strengthened mind and will. My husband recently purchased a Father's Day gift for himself a few weeks ago. How many here have ever purchased your own gifts and then given them to your family members to wrap and to give it back to you? Come on, truth, let me see your hands. I have been guilty of doing this several times over the years for almost every holiday. But Chris has never done this before in all of our marriage until this past Christmas, when I received a text that said, I have purchased most of my Christmas gifts online. Please watch the mail for them. To which I replied, you did what now? You're not allowed to purchase your own gifts, only I'm allowed to do that. Well, apparently he really enjoyed this experience because he did it again a few weeks ago. But what he purchased relates to this topic of the importance of our spiritual discipline in defeating our enemy. He bought a t-shirt, and on the front of it reads, discipline equals freedom. And on the back of the t-shirt, it reads as an alarm clock, and it says, 0434, up before the enemy. Now, we understand, of course, that in the spiritual, it is not discipline that equals freedom, but it is believing on Jesus Christ, and it is applying the blood and the work and the power of the cross that equals our freedom. But this phrase, up before the enemy, it should challenge us, church, that we must be better prepared than our enemy. We must be ahead of our enemy. We must know his tactics so we can train to be smarter than he is. And you can be sure tonight that our enemy is not ignorance. Satan knows the word of God. And not only does he know the word of God, but he knows the power of God. And so he is fighting at all times. Satan never sleeps. And he is fighting against our lives that we would not be in training, that we would not be in the Word of God and training ourselves and getting ready for the battle. He doesn't want us to be smarter. He doesn't want us to be ahead of him. And so he is always working ready for us on the battlefield, and he's looking for us to be weak. He's looking for us to fall down. And the truth is that according to the Word of God, we have the ability to be smarter, to be stronger than our enemy. But the truth also is that there are too many believers who are sleeping when the enemy is advancing. There are too many believers who are not taking their spiritual disciplines seriously. So when the enemy comes, they are not able to stand. When the day of evil has come against your home and against your life, they're not able to stand because they've not put on the full armor. They have not been in training. Instead of advancing, they are retreating. This is not the plan of God for his church. This is not the plan of God for us as soldiers and as believers. He has given us the tools and the weapons to be able to be better, to be able to be ahead of, to be able to see when the enemy is coming. Watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. Are there any areas in our lives where we have been tempted to slack off? Is there anything that is working against us to keep us from studying the Word of God, from training every day in godliness and faithfulness? We need to develop our discipline in our thought life, guarding what enters and what resides in our hearts. We need to develop a spiritual discipline in our prayer life, in our study and obedience to the Word. There is a greater reward that we are called to, more than just a natural reward. We need the full reward of God's power, of his victory, every time the enemy advances against us. In Psalm 119, David is passionately devoted to walking out God's word, and he prays from the beginning to the end of this chapter that he would remain faithful to passion and obedience after God's ways, that the grace of God would guide him, that the grace of God would help him in this manner. And in 2 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 8, it is a warning to us that it is possible to lose the blessing and to lose the reward of the Lord for our lives. It commands us to take notice that there are those who will tempt you to live outside of the truth of God's word. And if we compromise our standards, and if we choose to walk outside the righteous law of God, we will not receive our full reward of divine blessing, favor, and power. The apostle urges us to be aware of the deceivers, that we would be watchful, that we would not lose the things that we have worked for. We have an enemy who is preparing, who is training, who is planning to meet us on the battlefield, and we need to be stronger and smarter. And this requires a daily training on our part to be believers who are strong and steadfast in the power of our God. Let's have the worship team return, please. In these verses in 2 John, the apostle basically is saying, do not lose the things that you have worked for. In other words, you have tasted of the presence of God. You have tasted of the intimate moments in worship. You have tasted of his provision and of his breakthrough. Do not stop now. Do not be drawn in by the lies that say there is some other way by which you can be saved. Do not be drawn in by the lies that say there is some greater entertainment or greater truth than the Word of God. Galatians 5:7 says, you are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Who cut in on your godly living? Who cut in on your church attendance? What stopped you from being in the Word of God and meditating upon His words every day? What was it that hindered your worship expressions? What was it that caused you to stop falling to your knees to pray and intercede and to believe God for greater miracles? Can you hear the urgency of the apostle, the urgency of the Holy Spirit in these verses that cautions us from giving in to the lies? The Holy Spirit urges us that there is a full reward of the power and anointing of God that is available for our lives, for our children, and for our homes as we apply the full measure of the Word of God over our thoughts and our actions. Psalm 119, verse 4, you have ordained your precepts that we should follow them with careful diligence. What kind of a reward are we working towards? The lady in 2 John was commended not only for her obedience, but for bringing forth children of godly obedience as well. And we earnestly desire for this next generation to receive their divine full reward of the Lord as well, that they would receive the full reward of God's power over their lives, of God's provision and protection and blessing upon their lives. Let us lead them in this by example. Let us pursue and press on and be totally committed to walking the Word of God in our lives. Let us lead by example to our brothers and sisters. I'd like to leave us with an overview of David's declaration of the reward and blessing that he experienced as he was passionately devoted to being committed to live the Word of God. In almost every one of these 176 verses, David refers specifically to his love, to his commitment to God's Word, and that through God's Word, this is what his reward was, what he experienced. It's a long list. Let's pull this reward. Let's pull this faith into our spirits tonight. Wholehearted devotion, righteousness, cleansing from sin. This is what the Word produced in David's life. A deep deposit of the Word to remain pure. Delight, joy, disciplined and strengthened obedience. No shame, awakening, reviving of the soul, answered prayers, teaching, guidance, understanding, strength, truth speaking, grace, enlarged heart for God's kingdom, freedom from covetousness, devotion to a godly fear, mercy, strengthened trust, passion and love for the Word, freedom and worship, hope, comfort, the Lord is his portion, an undivided heart, quick obedience. How many need some quick obedience? Chains and bondages broken. Giving thanks in the night hour, a believing spirit, trust in times of affliction. Some of you need to receive that one. Laws are better and more satisfying than earthly treasure. Meditation, deep hunger to remain close to the Lord, continued remembrance of God's faithfulness, steadfast in times of temptation, sweeter than honey, a hate for sin, a lamp unto his path, a hiding place of refuge, a shield of protection from the enemy and ungodliness, deliverance, a pure heart, salvation and faithfulness until the very end. Church, there is a full divine reward of God's power and provision that he desires to impart to his church, to your children, to your brothers and sisters. Wherever you are tonight, you are not outside of this desire of God, but God is stirring us, and the Holy Spirit perhaps is convicting us, perhaps is challenging us to renew our total commitments to live the Word of God. the wisdom and power for every situation. It will be imparted as we commit our lives to faith, to divine love and passion, and disciplined obedience to His word. Let's stand together tonight. Would you just close your eyes? I just want to end with a word of prayer, and perhaps the Holy Spirit would just speak to you tonight. We want to just wait on the Lord tonight just for a moment. Let's just be open to receiving whatever it is the Holy Spirit would want to speak into our hearts. Whatever you came in here with tonight. No matter how weak your passion might be, or no matter how great your passion might be, God says there is always more. If you're here tonight and you do not know the Lord as your Savior, we pray that tonight you would make the decision to believe and to call on the name of Jesus. That tonight would be the night where you would turn aside from your ways and you would believe in the Lord. If you're here tonight and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in any way regarding this word, in any way regarding your commitment to walking out His word, I wonder if you would just raise your hands in this place, and I just want to just pray a blessing upon you and just pray that the Lord would come and just move afresh over your hearts. Thank you for those hands. Church, let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you right now to come and do the work that only you can do in our hearts, that you would transform our passions, that you would transform our focus, our commitment tonight. The Lord, as we set our hearts to worship you, that you would just begin to pour out just an abundance of the river of God, that you would just begin to pour out an awakening to the truth of your word tonight. That God, we would eagerly desire to serve you. That we would eagerly desire the divine reward of your power, of your protection, of your provision, Lord. You see the hands that were raised. You see the hearts that are open to you. I pray tonight that you would just begin to move, that you would begin to shift hearts, that you would begin to shift truth in minds, oh Lord. Tonight we are asking for the fullness of your Holy Spirit that you have already sent into the earth to be released into this house tonight, into every single believer in the name of Jesus. Not for our glory, but oh God, that we would cry, that we would live, that we would be passionate as David was, oh God, that we would never step outside of the laws of God in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I pray that you would just come and cover over our hearts tonight. Come and do what it is that you want to do. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. We're going to worship. If you need prayer for anything, we encourage you to come. We would love to pray with you. But let's honor the Lord tonight. Let's receive all that He wants to do in our hearts tonight. Amen.